I think I'm determined we will play that the first Sunday of every month so that we will know who we are and what we're all about. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
We got sunshine out. Yeah. Boy, we'll have to savor that. I want to say hats off to John and Brenda Tuvola for arranging that picnic. Wasn't that great? That's a fun. Thank you. And John, you can come and cook at our house anytime you want. Bring on those pork loins. Not only are you sitting in a place to hear a very dangerous message, you're sitting among some very dangerous people because we'd like to shake hands and hug one another. So get ready because we're going to greet everybody in the name of the Lord. Why don't we do that? Okay, we'll let you go back to your daddy, okay? Or do you want to stay right here? He does want to preach a message, huh? I feel that way a lot of times, you know? Today we're going to continue our series called Driving Out the Giants in Our Lives. We've already covered the giants of despair and discouragement, which really takes us away. It kind of pulls us down. The other giant that we had to address last week was the giant of fear. The giant of fear that keeps us away from doing things and living life. Today my sermon will cover those familiar giants, anger and resentment. Do any of you ever have anger and resentment? Right, okay, so this is not new to any of us, is it? But you know, anger and resentment, which is unchecked, eats away at us and keeps us from happiness and discontentment. The famous philosopher Marion Gillis once said, Marion's here in the audience, you can get her autograph, once said that anger and resentment is like taking poison to get even with someone who hurt you and waiting for them to die. That's a pretty good definition, isn't it? Waiting for them to die. I remember one day, some years ago, while returning from work, on a two-lane highway, I was driving down in the left lane, minding my own business, pulled over to the right lane, and here comes this car beeping its horn at me. And the gentleman was in it, shaking his fist. He was also mouthing some words that were unintelligible. But they were not friendly words, I know that. And he cut me off, and he pulled in front of me. He rolls down the window, and I see him screaming at me. I don't know what he said. I really don't know what I did. All I know is that he was very, very, very angry. Very angry. He was so angry that at the next stoplight, which was green, he waited and waited. Of course, me being the fearless man that I am, I wound up my windows and I locked my doors. And I thought, I teach him, I'll show my cell phone as if I'm, you know, dialing 911. And he just waited. And then finally, he took off. That was true road rage. Road rage that affected him. Road rage that really affected my whole day. Wouldn't it affect your day? And the sad part about it is I don't know what I did. I don't know whether I inadvertently cut him off. I don't know whether I was in the left lane going too slow. All I know is he was mad at me and I didn't know what I did. This happens to us a lot, doesn't it? We now live in a very angry, angry world. And we know, at least I know, that there's only one antidote. There's only one antidote for this poison of anger and rage. And that is love and forgiveness. It's the only cure. It's the only thing that we can take so that poison won't destroy us inside, as well as affect those all around us. So I call this sermon, Laying Down the Poison. And we're going to read from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 through 32. So turn to your Bible. Chapter 4, verses 26 through 32. But before we read, why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, God loves you. Why don't you do that? Yeah. Whether you're angry or not, God loves you. Okay. Let's read the scripture here. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other as Christ God forgave you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do many times sense anger when we're hurt. We sense resentment, and sometimes it overcomes us. Sometimes we go pretty far with it. Sometimes we hurt the ones we love the most. I know, Lord, that you have been dealing with me this whole week over these giants. And I pray, Lord, that you will help me to learn more about the need to forgive and the need to love. We ask, Lord, that you be present here today, that your anointing comes upon us, that this atmosphere gets cleared out, and that your Spirit is here, alive and real, to reveal to us how to deal with these two giants. So that, Lord, I ask that you take everything in me that would hinder your service, or hinder this service, or hinder your word. Take all those things out of me, Lord, so I can be filled with your Spirit to preach your word and to defeat these mighty giants that take us away from you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Webster defines anger as a strong emotion or feeling oriented towards some real or supposed grievance. What does that mean? Well, anger is when someone did you in and caused hurt to you, whether supposed or not, and you want to take something about it or do something about it. Resentment is a little bit deeper as we go further. Resentment is a feeling of deep and bitter anger and ill will. It's that deep anger that says, I am going to get even. It's that deep anger saying, you're not going to get away with this, that you're going to have to pay. And then this resentment goes into deeper anger, and that is called rage. And rage is a feeling of intense anger or a state of extreme anger, which says, I'll not only get even with you, I may even hurt you. I may burn down your house. I may destroy your family. God tells us in Ephesians 4, 26 through 27, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. What it's telling me is that anger isn't always bad. I think God gives us a certain amount of righteous anger when we see injustices. So what it's saying is, don't let your anger cause you to sin. What would sin be? It would be hate. What would sin be? It would be malice. What is not good is if you harbor anger for more than a night. That's why the Bible says, don't let the sun go down your anger. Because anger, as Marion says, is like poison. If we let it fester, it will eat us up and it will continue. It causes you to lash out. It causes you to sin. It causes you to hurt others. I love the verse that says, don't go to bed with this. So, you know, when someone says it's important to count to 10, I think that's pretty wise advice. That when you get very angry, to count to 10. Or if it lasts throughout the night, you might be counting to 2 million or more. I'm not sure. But pronounced anger that turns to resentment and then to rage, is like drinking your own poison. Right, Mary? Your own poison. And you know, the offending individual may not care and live their lives in happiness. Meanwhile, you're miserable trying to find a way or ways to get even. This poison. This poison can affect us in at least 4 different ways. This poison can affect us with relationships. It damages relationships. Not only does it poison us, it can poison those around us. And we get nasty, we get mean, and we just change so much. One of the worst things of these giants is the fact that they may damage the ones you love the most. Is that right? Damage the ones you love the most. Experts say that the most frequent target of our anger includes spouses, children, co-workers, and friends. Co-workers and friends. Not only that, it puts a barrier up between you and your loved ones, and also it puts a barrier up with you and God. And it can make your home a very unhappy place to live. A happy, unhappy place to live. An example is you come home from work, guys, and you yell at your wife because dinner was not ready. And then your wife screams at the kids for not behaving. And then the kids kick the dog because the dog was in the way. And then the dog chases the cat. And then the cat gets angry and eats the bird. And because of your anger, a bird dies. Right? And then being the men that we are, we blame God for allowing all this to happen, don't we? And we alienate everybody in our whole household, and we separate ourselves from the love of God. That's what this poison does. It leads to aggression. That when this anger is unchecked, they can lead to verbal and physical abuse, leaving behind a very fearful and angry household. It is estimated that in the United States, about 1.5 million women are battered by their partners each year. Battered. If that's not bad enough, then we have drive-by shootings, don't we? We have kids killing kids. We have kids coming to the school because of their anger, because they were bullied, because they were mistreated, because a teacher gave them a bad grade. That's the effect of poison, the poison of anger and resentment. Number 3, they can affect us physically. Caution causes your blood to boil. Caution causes high blood pressure. Caution causes you to lash out. Caution causes your heart to beat faster. Caution, you have trouble eating and sleeping. That's what this does, doesn't it? Caution may cause depression, may cause moodiness, may cause you to be introverted. That's what the caution level, that's what the caution label says. Statistics tell us that those with high levels of aggression, cynicism, and anger are at a higher risk of developing life-threatening illnesses. It is bad for you. They eat more, they drink more, and they smoke more. Right? Times of stress and anger, there are those that pick up a cigarette, aren't they? Aren't there? Or those that pick up something worse to hide the resentment inside. And certainly, last but not least, ooh, that's nasty. Huh? Unresolved and uncontrolled anger can eat us for a lifetime unless we recognize and deal with it. It prevents us from living a full, healthy life. It's deep-seated emotional hurt. I'm going to get somebody. I can't live today until I get them. And it can't be healed unless we go to God with our anger and take some action. There's a TV series out, I think it's still out, that's called Class Reunion. And last year's series had a reunion of the class, I think probably 1987, because it was a 20-year period or 20-year reunion. And they were filming this one guy that was anxious and afraid to come into the class reunion because he was afraid to meet up with the class bully. And I've told this story with our 12-step group. This man was afraid to meet up with the class bully. He hated him. He was abused at a drugstore. The class bully came in, knocked all his stuff out of his hand, called him all different names, ridiculed him, laughed at him. And so this was going to be the meeting of this young man, or this man and the bully, who was a football hero that pushed him around. It was interesting because all that hate came out as he accused the football bully, football player bully, accused him of the things that he did that particular day. And the bully looked at him and said, "I don't remember any of that. I don't remember any of that. And I am so sorry that I hurt you." Can you believe that? 20 years of growing up always remembering that bully. 20 years of that festering inside of him saying he wanted to get even. 20 years of wasted life to find out the bully, number one, didn't remember it. And number two, was ready to forgive. 20 years. This poison prevents us from being healed. But many times, it is the instances, or in many instances, it is the awesome power of forgiveness that can be the antidote. Right? How many of you have forgiven or been forgiven and it's changed your whole life? I know there are some. You're shaking heads. I want to see you raise a hand. Okay. It is an antidote. It sounds easy, doesn't it? It sounds easy. But it could be the most difficult of things to do. You know, no antidote tastes good, does it? Have you ever heard of an antidote that tastes good? Have you ever heard of an antidote that was cheap? Have you heard of antidotes that sometimes involve needles? especially for rabies, in which they give you multiple shots in your stomach. So antidotes aren't fun, are they? They certainly aren't fun for those that harbor resentment. But we need to always keep focused on the antidote forgiveness. One definition of forgiveness is giving up resentment against someone else along with your right to get even, no matter what has been done to you. It's giving up our right to get even. That's tough, isn't it? That's really tough. Seems easier to read than to do. And when resentment turns into rage, it almost becomes an impossibility to take that antidote. Impossibility to take that antidote. There are major obstacles that come against us or against our ability to forgive as we try to stop drinking this poison. Charles Stanley says that there are 7 obstacles to forgiving. 7 obstacles from dropping this bottle of poison. Number 1 is lack of desire. We don't want to forgive some of these people. The hurt's too deep. I'll keep drinking from my bottle of poison. Number 2, rehearsing over and over again what somebody did to you. Rehearsing what they did to you. We've all done that, right? They hurt me, and then you lay it aside, and the next morning you go through the whole situation. Was I right? Was I wrong? Here's what they did. They were in the wrong. I was in the right. They were in the wrong. I was in the right. I hate them. I hate them. I hate them. Right? Number 3, pride. We believe that it's the other person that should ask forgiveness. They should initiate reconciliation, not us. And we keep drinking from the bottle. Nasty stuff. Number 4, the obstacle of fear. We avoid forgiving because to some it's a sign of weakness. Or a sign of being misunderstood. Or you have that great fear of being rejected. How many of you have a great fear of being rejected if you forgive somebody? All of us. I would say most of us. Then you got then you got some negative advice. Hey, we all have friends, don't we? And instead of taking the bottle from us, guess what they do? They give you more. They look at you and they're well-meaning. They see you're hurt. And what do they say to you? You deserve to be hurt. They did do that to you. That's exactly what they did. They did you in and you got to get even. Isn't it great to have friends like that? You think they think they're well-meaning, but instead they push you back to the poison bottle. You have the obstacle of partial forgiveness. And that is picking and choosing what you're going to forgive. I forgive you of this. And then the word comes. What's the word? But. I forgive you of this, but you were in the wrong here. But I can't forgive you of that. That's effective, isn't it? That's just taking another swig out of this bottle. The other obstacle to forgiveness is relying on emotions. If you think we have to wait until we feel like forgiving, how close are you going to be to this bottle? We will never feel like forgiving. It has to be a forward positive action that you just do it. Just do it. But there is a remedy to forgiveness. Do I have here somewhere? Did I move it? Thank you, my sweetie. The remedy of forgiveness. Great stuff. Great stuff. This is the antidote. But you know, you got to read the label. And you got to understand that there are instructions on any antidote, right? There are instructions. The number of instruction on this antidote is acknowledgement of the poison. Acknowledgement that you have a problem. Acknowledgement that those giants that are coming against us of anger, resentment, are vile. That they can poison your life and hurt others. Here's what Hebrews 12:15 says. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. There's a bitter root that comes from anger and resentment. And it does defile many. It hurts all those around us. And we can't miss the grace of God. We take the grace of God, but we should give out the grace of God too. So it's important that, number two, that we understand that there are consequences and judgment to the actions that we take of anger and bitterness. Matthew 5:22 says, "But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment." And there will be judgment. And last but not least, know that this poison that we take up of these giants is foolish. Proverbs 12:16 says, "A fool shows his anger at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult." This antidote's pretty neat. I mean, if you look at this, you see what it's good for. And it says it's good for broken relationships, aggression, for healing, and for physical health. And it takes away trouble, vile actions, judgment, and foolishness. That's what the label says. I'll give it to you later. That's what the label says. Number two, let's accept the antidote. It's important for us. The instructions here says, accept that this will cure you. Accept it. Understand the importance of forgiveness. Accept that this is more for our good than those that we forgive. Right? This is for our good. Matthew 6:14-15 says, "But if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins." That even in our anger and our bitterness, that God forgave us. And understand that this antidote is the acceptance of that, as well as understanding that we can repent and we can have total forgiveness. And that poison will be neutralized. Understand that being vengeful gets you nowhere. Romans 12:17-19 says, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord." I will repay. Let God do the repaying, not us. Let God do the repaying. It does no good for us to repay evil for evil. Does it? It hurts. And guess what? No one's going to hide what they do from God. Will they? So what's the ingredients here? The ingredient says, antidote forgiveness contains God's unconditional love, His justice, His peace, His forgiveness of your sins. Costs little to you and much to the manufacturer. Right? Thanks, Scott, for that one. The other instructions When taking this, please cover it with prayer. Please cover it with prayer. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Prayer is a necessary instruction here. Prayer is when you take your hurts to God. And guess what? If you take your hurts to God, don't hold back. That's what this says. Prayer. Take it to God. Don't hold back. You can yell at God, can't you? He understands your pain. How can he understand your pain if you don't give that anger to him? You can tell God, "Here's my anger, please take it. It has done more to hurt me than help me." The author of the website, Bible Bell Chronicle, says that he gives it to God by saying, "Here's my anger, I give it to you, I'm done with it. Now it's your problem." Isn't that great? That's your problem, God. You know, it sounds funny, but doesn't that relieve you? When you say, "God, I give it to you, it's your problem." He also says in this article that in his experience, asking for the ability to forgive is a prayer God always grants. Isn't that wonderful? And the peace of God that passes all understanding will come upon us. That peace. Warning: side effects could cause discomfort, may experience side effects of unbelief, skepticism, before coming to a peaceful rest. Causes peace and may result in sleep and clear conscience. Isn't this great? It's good stuff. This is good stuff. Then the biggest instruction is taking action. Then take this. Taking action by forgiving. You know, we got to have God's help to take action to get rid of this bitterness, rage and anger, and this malice. Ephesians 4, 31, 32 says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." That's it. That's a model. As Christ forgave us. Boy, it makes taking this a lot easier, doesn't it? It's not as tough anymore. God forgave us completely, unconditionally. Get this. This is very important. I'm going to read this, so forgive me as my head is bowed here. Forgiving others has nothing to do on whether the person deserves to be forgiven or even wants to be forgiven. The process, this antidote, is for us to be free again. Amen? That's for us to be free. That's for us to be free. You might be forgiving somebody that could care less, that maybe they're glad that they hurt you. But you know what? In the time for us to stop being a victim and become a victor. Right? We can't live in this victim mentality anymore. It grabs us. It takes us away from what God wants us to be and what to do. Here's a dosage on this. It says, dosage, take as needed. If experiencing prolonged lightheadedness, restfulness, and giddiness, please report this to the manufacturer. He likes these results. That's what it says. That's what it says. Right? He likes this. He wants you happy again. That's why he made this. That's why he was the example of it. So you can understand. Last, it said, okay, let's move on being healed by God's intervention. It's time to move on. Putting the past in the past and going forward. To rise above the need to hate. The need to hate and want to get even and go to the need to love and forgive. As we hope in Him, we have a renewal that helps us soar above the things that come against us. I love Isaiah 40:29-31. It's such a familiar verse to all of us. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Let's take the antidote. Let's learn to let go and let God and soar. It's just soar in the sky because we're not weighted down by that chip on our shoulder. That He took that chip from our shoulder on the cross. You know, God has a plan for our lives. Why are we wasting it by revenge, by getting even, and carrying this enormous load on our shoulders? When we can take, we can give it to God, and He will give you wings and everlasting life. Label says this: if satisfied with this product, you can share it and pass it on. It's a medicine you can share. Isn't that great? You can share it and pass it on. There is more available at the manufacturers. How often do you take it? You can take it 7 times 70. It's available in bottles of 7 times 70 when necessary. When necessary. So this is Clint Eastwood. And he's saying, I know what you're thinking. Did He forgive me 7 times 7 times? Or only 7 times 6 times? What did He do? We're going to show a little clip on forgiveness, and then we'll close. And it will make you feel good, too, somewhere in your heart. So which bottle are you going to choose? The poison of resentment and anger, or the antidote of forgiveness, all paid for by Jesus Christ on the cross. He was hurt by the world. He was criticized. He was cursed. He was beaten. He was hung on the cross. And as Mike said, as he was talking communion, Christ Himself then said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's free to you, but was very costly to the Creator and to His Son. You can choose death, or you can choose life. Poison or antidote. Which one do you want to drink from today? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You so much, and we do struggle with forgiveness, and we do struggle with those that hurt us. Help us to have Your heart, Lord, the heart that sacrificed itself for all of us. As we were yet sinners, You died for us. We didn't have to be goody two-shoes for You to die for us. You went up there to the cross as we were in our sins. Dear Lord, I pray that we take this message to heart, that You will grow us each and every day so that we won't hurt those that we love the most, so that we won't get physically ill, that we don't go into depression, so that we don't become aggressors, so that we can finally be healed emotionally. I pray for this church, Lord. I pray for everybody here today. And I ask, Lord, that You help us take this message and put it in our heart so that we can too be full functioning Christians by giving out your forgiveness. And so, Lord, with that, I just pray, Lord, that you will bless our week and that you will keep this message ever foremost in our minds. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.